We do not forget the finality. The purpose of a retreat does not end with ourselves. No. Capital N, capital O, followed by an exclamation mark. No. The purpose of making the retreat is indeed we might become more holy so that then we might be more effective channels of God's grace to others. You to your wives, your married men, and your children. Channels of grace more effective to everyone whose life you touch. Hear it. We have a grave obligation to be conduits of grace to other people, as others, thank God, have been conduits of grace to us. And the measure of our being channels of God's grace to others, you name the virtue. Patience, humility, prayerfulness, charity, chastity. You'll be, and I keep repeating, only as effective communicators of God's grace to others as we possess those virtues ourselves. And no one cheats here. The gift of the fear of the Lord, in spite of its strange wording, is a loving, loving concern. Get the word concern to please God by avoiding the least sin in our lives. And I repeat, not because we fear God's punishments, which we should. But that is not the timor domini. In other words, the fear of the Lord is the divinely infused gift inspiring us to seek to please God in everything and avoid displeasing Him in anything, pleasing Him in everything and avoid displeasing Him in anything. And that is why the key that unlocks the treasury of sanctity is to know ourselves, know what tendencies I've got, know what urges I must control, including my natural fear. As we have a strong, powerful fear of God, guess what? We're going to give in to our fear of other people. How we dread, well, may I don't say discarded by another person. How we dread even to sometimes in some trivial matter, displease another person. I never tire saying what slaves, and I mean this, by our nature, we are all slaves of human respect. The fear of other people, not just the fear of what they may do to us, not even just the fear of what they may say either to us or about us. Can you imagine? We are even afraid of what people will think of us. Talk about slavery. Believe you me, I'm talking from experience. I have to every day examine my conscience on where and how I've given in to human respect. They go on. They're talking about the need of responding to this precious gift of the fear of the Lord. And privacy may surprise you. Yes, fear of the Lord is not only fear of the Lord, fear of offending God ourselves. Yes, fear of the Lord is also an apostolic fear. We ought to fear for others. We ought to be concerned for the salvation of others. I need to say at least a few words about the need for reparation, the need for expiation. I like Teresa of Avila's definition of expiation. She says expiation is substitution. What's she talking about? We expiate the sins of others by substituting in our lives what they are not doing in theirs. Going beyond what we have to do, to obtain God's mercy for the sinners and being with our own, maybe members of our own family. I've said this before. Mother and father I had dinner with in Chicago. They told me we have had 7 children, all raised as Catholics, all sent to professedly Catholic schools. All 7 have left their Catholic faith. And we repeat, this fear of the Lord is also an apostolic fear. Fear for, first of all, the salvation of others. Fear for others who are not serving God as faithfully as they should. What does this apostolic dimension of the fear of the Lord mean? It means laboring, laboring. Laboring for the return of others to the grace of God which they've lost by living in sin. Laboring for the return of apostate Catholics. Should I say it? Apostate priests. Should I even say apostate bishops? Oh, how deep is this fear of the Lord. It should inspire our zeal, and I'm not exaggerating in saying, in exhausting ourselves in serving God, not only because we don't want to offend Him, but because we want to expiate the sin of others, obtain from God's mercy what, as sinners, they do not deserve. I mean this when I say it. One of the fruits of this retreat should be to resolve to live a life of reparation, a life of expiation. And the Church distinguishes reparation from expiation. Reparation is making up for the evil other people have done by their sins, the harm they've caused, the families they've broken, the hearts they have killed. Reparation, expiation. Expiation is to recover the grace. Recover the grace lost by sin. We are speaking of the apostolic dimension of this wonderful gift of the fear of the Lord. Our faith tells us no sinner gets away with it, period. And over the centuries, some of the Church's greatest saints have lived lives of expiation, living lives far beyond what they would have had to live just to save and even sanctify themselves. Living as we are in a society, what word shall I use, that has been deluged by sin, how we need to put this gift of the fear of the Lord into apostolic practice. We go on. How to cultivate this gift of the fear of the Lord. There are two kinds of fear, and therefore there are two kinds of peace, which is to replace these fears. There is fear of the mind and fear of heart. How do we cultivate peace of mind and peace of heart to replace the spontaneous fear that we have as sinners living in a sinful world? We must cultivate peace of soul on the two levels of peace of mind and peace of heart. Peace of mind, as I've said so often, is the experience of knowing the truth. And the one truth we better know and understand and grow in our understanding of is that God is merciful. I know what I'm talking about. 51 years plus 3 weeks in the priesthood. I know how spontaneously fearful we are. We sinners, as you and me. To cultivate this peace of mind, we must, and I mean this, put away from our minds every time our minds distress us, make us worried, make us discouraged, and even tempt us to despair. Discouragement over our own past lives. Discouragement over the sinful ocean of, what shall we call it, crimes against the divine majesty. In order to cultivate this fear of the Lord, which, remember, is the kind of fear which is inspired by such love for God that we do not in the least want to offend Him. Not because we dread His punishments, but because we love Him. How we need, all of us, to keep reminding ourselves. And reminding, by the way, is reminding ourselves of the mercy of God. Well, I recommend being alive, remember, of saints, and especially of the big sinners. I cannot tell you how invaluable has been over the years the confessions of St. Augustine in my life. And St. Ignatius was a big sinner. Before he established the Society of Jesus, he had to provide, well, at least one child that he conceived, needed to say, out of wedlock. We need to be convinced in mind that God is merciful. Over the years, how many people have asked me, especially my own fellow judges, and teaching them theology. Sin, they tell me, does not make sense. I told them, that's your problem. God must have had, and does have, a profoundly deep reason for, as we casually say, allowing sin. This is our faith. How do we cultivate and grow in this priceless gift of the fear of the Lord? By becoming daily more convinced that God is merciful. As far as our human minds can understand, God allows sin so we'll be able to practice mercy. Do you hear me? Even we can practice mercy only to someone who has been unjust to us. Mercy is love repaying injustice. Am I clear? How we need to deeply, clearly strengthen our faith. I'm talking about peace of mind. Peace of heart is the experience of doing God's will. And the depth of that experience depends on the degree of our doing God's will. You might say, Father, enough is enough. You've said this before. We shall cultivate this gift of fear. In other words, growing in our love for God by not only avoiding sin, but doing things that will please God, which we're not obliged to avoid, and they're bad, or do good, because we are commanded to do so. I beg you, ask the Holy Spirit before this retreat closes and put it in writing. Everybody got a copy of Writing of the Spiritual Life? Put it down. Write it out. What more do I promise God to do for Him? What do I promise to give up? Not because I have to avoid sin, and because I love Him. I assure you, your peace of heart will grow by leaps and bounds. You will grow in this. I keep calling it the priceless gift of the fear of the Lord. One more closing recommendation on how to cultivate and grow in this gift of Timor Domini, and that is by going to the sacrament of confession frequently. And frequent confession, the Church, for Paul the Sixth, defines what frequent confession means. It means every 2 weeks. Depending on what diocese or parish you're in, you have a hard time finding a priest, especially if you've been there 2 weeks ago. What? You back again? Over the years, I have told priests, especially when I give them retreats, you hear confessions as often as possible, for as long as possible. One more recommended reading to all of you. The Life of the Curia of Ours. Now you know his name was John Vianney. And I even give you the best biography of the Curia of Ours is by the French literateur Trocu, T-R-O-C-H-U. T-R-O-C-H-U. Trocu. The biography is based on the process of canonization of the Curia of Ours. Trocu had access to the most secret archives and was allowed to use them on the green books I've read over the years. Closing comment. Go to confession frequently. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of the fear of the Lord. Enlighten our minds to know you, our merciful God. Deepen our love for you, to give you, in years to come, not only what you demand of us under sin, but whatever we praise you, because we love you. Amen. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Copies of this talk are available from the Institute on Religious Life, P.O. Box 41007, Chicago, Illinois 60641, or call area code 773-267-1195.